70 elders were received the Spirit of the Lord or received prophecy. What? Why do we need 70 people for a prophecy? What is prophecy? See, most of us think prophecy is predicting the future. Well, there's some degree of that, but that's not really what this prophecy is. The prophecy here is a person who is imbibed by the Holy Spirit to tell the people to repent, that God loves them. Come back from your sins so that you won't be punished by God. That's what prophecy here. So they're all called to preach the word of God and to tell the people to turn back to God and stay away from it. I'll just quote two passages from Scripture to kind of help you understand that. One is from Isaiah 58. Cry out full-throated and unsparingly. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their wickedness and the house of Jacob their sins. So a prophet is supposed to do that. He's supposed to tell the people, you're not doing what God wants you to do. Change now. So he's supposed to, with full spirit, and these 70 men were supposed to do that for the people to get them to do what is right. The last one, the other one I would, is from Jeremiah. The same idea. The following message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. It's not his message. It's God's message. It's coming from God because the prophet is speaking for God. He's an ambassador to God. The following message of Jeremiah came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the house of the Lord and proclaim this message. What message? God's message. So he's supposed to stand. The people coming into the temple, he's standing at the gate there. Hey, you're going in the temple now, and he's supposed to give the message of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Again, he said, it's not my word. It's God's word. Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, and enter the gates here to worship at the Lord. Thus says the Lord. It's not me. I'm not telling you to do this. God's saying, I am speaking for, that's what prophecy is. Someone who speaks for God. The prophets of the Old Testament. So it's not so much about predicting the future, but telling people now what they're doing wrong so they can change. Thus says the Lord of the hosts of God, of Israel, reform your ways and your deeds so that I may remain with you in this place. Only if you thoroughly reform your ways and your deeds will I remain with you in this place, in the land which I gave your fathers long ago. So that's what the 70 men received the prophecy, received the gift of the Spirit of receiving the Holy Spirit, so they could tell the people when they were doing things that are wrong. And that's why the response today that we sang was, remember what it was? Someplace. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord give joy. If you listen to God, that's what the prophets of Paul tell, repent from your sins. If you listen to the word of God, they'll give you joy in your heart. See, the world thinks that you can have joy in wealth, in sex, in drugs, in food, in alcohol. If you keep the word of the Lord, you'll find joy in your heart. You'll have the peace that God wants to give. My peace I give you, my peace I give unto you, Jesus said to the apostles at the Last Supper. Because he's given us a different peace than the peace of the world. Goes on to say, and then that response, or if you heard what the reading was or what the singing was, it says, your servant finds great reward in the keeping of your laws. We find peace and happiness if we just do what God says. And that's why God keeps calling us back from our sins. You can't find happiness out there. Listen to the prophets. Listen to the people I send you so that you do what is right. And then it goes on to say, who can detect their own errors? From hidden faults, acquit me. We really don't know our own errors at times. You know, your children, they'll say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, go ask your parents. They'll tell you what wrong you're doing. So sometimes we don't know our own sins. Or as it says, from hidden faults, acquit me. Those hidden faults, what do you mean hidden faults? The faults that I don't recognize, those are hidden. I do things that, well, you know, they're not wrong. Ask somebody else, they'll tell you what's wrong about him. Those are the hidden faults that we should recognize. That's why we go to confession. We're trying to find those hidden faults. We can repent of those and do different. So this is what it's all about today, is about prophecy telling us that God loves us and wants us to do what's right. And that reading from the second reading today from James. See, that's what he is. Now, James was an apostle, but in this case, he's a prophet of the Lord. He's telling them what they're wrong. What did he say? Come now, you rich, weep over your impending miseries. Oh, everything's fine for him right now. But just wait. Just wait. You know the story of Dives Lazarus? Dives had it all. I mean, he was rich. He feasted sumptuously every day. And poor old Lazarus had to be out there. And the dog licks his sores. And he finally died. He had nothing. He wouldn't even, the rich man wouldn't even give him the scraps from his table. How'd they end up? Lazarus went to heaven. And rich man went to the torments of the fires of hell. That's what he's saying here. Come now, you rich, weep over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away, and your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. So you've had your joy now, and now you have to suffer. So as James is calling his people, don't rely on your wealth. Listen to God and use your wealth for other people, not for yourself. And finally, he goes on to say, he concludes by saying, well, that's what we had today anyway. You have condemned the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. So that's what the Jews did. They condemned Jesus, the righteous one. And they didn't listen to him. He offered no resistance. He was like the lamb led to slaughter. We have that today. The world is not listening to the prophets of the church and the good people who are saying, you're killing the righteous one. The infants in the womb, they've never done anything to good people. Why are you killing them? And they offer no resistance, like Jesus on the cross. They can't fight. They can't object. They're slaughtered. So that's what prophecy is. Prophecy is telling us this is what God wants you to do. And we've got to listen if we want to find peace and joy and happiness. When Jesus asked the apostles, who do people say I am? Well, you know, they say you're one of the prophets. And a prophet, of course, is one who calls people back to God. They say you're one of the prophets, Elijah, or maybe Jeremiah, or one of the great prophets. But who do you say I am? And that's what Peter said, you're the Son of God. It's God himself who's calling us to repent. God himself who comes here on earth to call us. And so when Jesus today says, if your hand causes you to sin, if you're stealing with that, if you're using it for evil, cut it off. It's better for you to have no hands and go to heaven than to have your hands and go to hell. Or your eyes. This is God. He's our prophet. He's saying, your eyes are something important in your life. But if you're using it for pornography, for lust, for desire, evil desires, if you're looking at the wrong kind of programs, God is saying, it'd be better if you were blind. Better to blind go to heaven with no eyes than you'll have your eyes in heaven than to go to hell with your eyes, because you won't see any there. It's all darkness. So Jesus is the prophet. And he's calling us today to look at our lives. All of us have hidden faults. Faults we don't recognize. Everybody else can know them, but we don't know our own faults. We've got to learn what those faults are. Let's pray to God that he will give us the Holy Spirit, that we may become prophets for ourselves and for others. You as parents have to be prophets for your children. You have to tell them what's right and wrong. They don't want to hear it, but you have to call them back. And hopefully they will hear someday and will return. So that's what prophecy is. We have to speak for God so that people hear this, and when they hear it, they will turn to God. Unfortunately, you know, one of the basic temptations of the human nature is the temptation to believe that the satisfaction of the deepest desires of our hearts is totally up to us. I know what makes me happy, and this is what I'll do. That's not going to make us happy. It's not what we desire or we think is going to give us happiness. God made us a certain way, and we're not going to find happiness or goodness until we turn to the Lord. So that's what prophecy is today. We have to listen to the church. We have to listen to the good people. We have to turn away from these false prophets of the politicians or whoever else they happen to be and turn to the Lord, where we will find joy. So the precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. Your servants find great reward in the keeping of your precepts. So it's doing God's will, listening to the prophets of today, listening to the church, listening to what God says, so we can turn away from sin and come back to Him, because that's all He wants. Jesus is not threatening us. He's trying to help us know if you do these things, bad things can happen. We don't want bad things to happen. Come back, He says. I'm your prophet. I'm not just a prophet. I'm the Son of God who's come to save you.